This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What's up? Welcome to the RBD podcast. My name is Rob, and I will be one of several individuals that you'll hear yapping on this podcast from time to time. Those individuals aren't here today, but they will be joining me in later episodes. So unfortunately for everybody, you will be stuck with me for this initial podcast episode. What are we doing here, right? I'm sure what everybody's thinking is, good Lord, do we need another stupid podcast? And of course I thought, of course we do. That's all I listen to. But I had this idea kicking around for quite some time. As the RBD has grown, and so have our sponsors, I had always thought there's a lot of really good quality archery that happens up here in the Northeast, right? Some really excellent shops, some really excellent clubs, and, there's a lot of really good events that a lot of folks may or may not know about, and I would like to be able to promote those events, not just those events, but those archers, highlight those archers' travels. I mean, there's a lot of guys up here in the Northeast that don't just shoot locally. I mean, they go to a lot of national events, right? So it'd be interesting, I'd always thought, to get the perspective and the insight of some of those guys, right? So, basically what we want to do here is we want to, this podcast is going to be able to promote the RBD, promote our great sponsors, and to promote just archery overall here in the Northeast, right? Because there is really quite a bit of it going on. And yeah, this podcast isn't going to be for everybody, right? You're not going to sit down somewhere in Maryland or in, North Carolina and listen to this podcast, or probably even find it informative, because this is going to be something that's going to highlight shoots that are happening in Pennsylvania, a lot of New York events, the stuff that's going on up in New England, and things like that. And we can get guys on from all those areas. You know, we got plenty of contacts with guys, and I'd love to get, different archers on here to talk about what they've experienced at these events, because there's quite a few of them out there. And it'd be, again, there are a lot of really top quality archers that live up here in the Northeast that, do other things for a living. They don't just shoot their bow all day. They're engineers, they're linemen, they're carpenters, they're mailmen, they're military, landscapers. And a lot of those guys are really, really excellent shooters, and they do a lot of traveling throughout the year to different events. They all have different experiences. And I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the things that, they go through on the road during the summer and during the tournament season. Now, I could be wrong. People might think that is boring as hell. And maybe it might be. I mean, it might be. But, we're going to try it out, because not only are there a lot of top quality shooters, but, follow the RBD at all, there are a lot of really excellent shops that have a lot of things going on up here, and they're sponsors of ours. So I would love to be able to give back to them, be able to promote their league, be able to talk to the owners. What kind of equipment are they getting in? What's hot? What do they got on sale? Are they running any promotions? they got any new upcoming events going on. I mean, the shops really could, I think every small archery shop could use a bump here or there to help them out. So, I mean, that's another thing that I'd really like to try to do here, right? And then as this pod progresses, you know, who knows? We're going to have a lot of the crew in here talking, a lot of the guys that are here at the shop, and topics are going to vary. Who knows? I mean, you know, we'll sit around here on a Wednesday night during league and we'll go down the rabbit hole in about 45,000 different things. So, it may not all be archery related, but it should be entertaining anyways, that's for sure. So that's a little bit about what we want to do, right? So I could tell you a little bit about my story, I guess, with the RBD, or maybe we could start out by telling you a little bit about what the RBD is. The RBD, Known Triple Classic, is a known archery tournament held here in the state of Pennsylvania and the state of New York. It's a three-leg series that starts in May. We've been doing it now for the last seven seasons, and this will be our eighth season. We're all known yardage, hence the Known Triple Classic. And we do it a little differently than maybe some other tournaments where half of the scoring field are Delta McKenzie targets, so we're scoring them 12-ring scoring. And the other half of the field is Reinhardt targets. So we're scoring them 11 ring scoring. So it's a little different to get used to in the beginning because you alternate targets. Every other target is a Reinhardt. So all the odd number targets are Reinhardts throughout the day and all the even number targets are Deltas. So it makes the scoring a little different than anything most folks are normally used to. But now after seven seasons, I think most shooters find it to be pretty entertaining and pretty enjoyable, right? So that's a little bit about, you know, the targets that we've got, the format, the shooting classes. It's a little different than everything else. And I'm not sure if everybody really has quite wrapped their mind around what we're doing. It's like a flighted 3D tournament where everybody is pulling from the same pot. I mean, I've been to a ton of 3D shoots, and part of the reason why we exist is because of that reason. I mean, you could travel around up here in the Northeast several years ago, and you might spend $200-$400 traveling to some of these local tournaments. And at the end of the day, they might catch you a check for, you know, $45.12. And I get it. It's not all about the money, but that's a lot of traveling for a little return, right? And that's because, like everything else in 3D archery, everything is corralled into a million different classes. This class for that guy, this class for that person, this class for that person. And then at the end of the day, you got 37 classes with three people in each class, and they're only pulling out of that money that's in each class. So, you know, we had come up with the idea of mixing everybody in like they do in Vegas or like they do at a lot of these flighted tournaments, right? And do it in a 3D tournament and do it in a format where everything is apples to apples. So everything we do is based off of an average. Everything is a mathematical equation. Everybody is shooting the same percentage from max. Our stakes are blue, red, and orange. The blue stake is anybody that shoots any type of open equipment, right? So I guess my idea of open equipment is pretty traditional. The way we define open equipment here at the RBD is basically unlimited, right? Like movable sight, glass, long bars, those would put you into the 50-yard class. Regardless of age, male or female, you'd be shooting from the 50-yard stake if you were shooting open equipment. Our hunter class or hunter stake, men's hunter, is 40-yard max. You know, that's basically standard hunting equipment. You know, fixed pins, 12-inch bars or less. We don't care where they're from the point of contact. But again, that's all men shooting hunting equipment. 15 or older and you're shooting hunting equipment, that's going to be the class that you fall into, or that's going to be the stake you shoot from. And then our final stake is orange, and that's a 30-yard class. The 30-yard class is for all women pin shooters and all youth pin shooters 15 years and younger, right? So those will be all of our competitive classes. And you know, and I get it. I get it. I hear it every year from a few guys about how come we don't have a hunter class for guys with movable sights. Well, you know, movable sight to me is open. So those guys are more than welcome to come down and shoot, and they can shoot from the 50-yard stake. And it's not like they have to worry about competing against the top open guys, and maybe they can't. I mean, some of these like hybrid hunter archers are excellent shooters, so that's not to say they couldn't come down here to compete with the very top of the open class archers, but they shouldn't really have to worry about it, because they're going to go out and shoot a score, and at the end of the day they're going to fall into a flight with other archers that have shot competitive scores with theirs. So if they come here and shoot 10 down, they're going to fall into a group with a lot of other archers that shot 10 down, regardless of their equipment. So at the end of the day, during the shoot-up, they'll be competing against those same archers that have shot very similar scores to what they have shot to qualify. You know, so that's basically how we do things, right? I mean, you don't have to be a top open pro or pro hunter archer to come down here and have an opportunity to step on the field and get into a shoot-off type of situation and shoot for really what I think is more money than you're going to get basically anywhere else, especially for certain anywhere else up here in the Northeast. I mean, the way we flight it is designed so that all archers, the top archers that might finish 25 up to the archers that finish 75 down, they're all going to have an opportunity to shoot off for money that I feel like they don't have an opportunity to win anywhere else. I mean, I've been shooting in a ton of places, and, you know, our fifth flight last year paid out $700, I think, maybe close to $800 to the winner. And, you know, that archer qualified 75 or 80 down, right? So I'm not aware of any other archery tournaments where you can go qualify 80 down and have an opportunity to win, you know, $800. I mean, I don't know a lot of archery tournaments, especially locally, where you can go shoot 25 up and have an opportunity to win $800, right? So our flights really scale out well, and it really does give everybody an opportunity, and that's what we're really trying to do. I mean, when we started this thing, I guess that's how I always envisioned it, was a tournament for the top archers all the way down to, you know, the everyday hunters that want to come out and they don't have to worry about competing against the very best. They can just come out, shoot for fun, and fall into a category with archers that have shot, you know, within a handful of points that they did for the entire summer. I mean, a lot of our flights are really only separated by a handful of points. You know, we'll take the top 10 archers in every one of our flights and let them shoot off for the money that is designated for those flights, right? I would argue that the hardest flight to crack or even be competitive in is probably that top flight, because that's where you see the widest range of score discrepancy. I mean, the guys that finish in there at the top, they might be 40, 50 up, and the guy that comes in 10th place in that flight might only be 15 or 20 up. So there might be a 20-point swing there between the top qualifying archer and the 10th qualifying archer for that first flight shoot-up. Where flights 2 through 5, I mean, a lot of years, those scores might only be separated by 1 or 2 or 3, some years 0. I mean, some years you might get a flight where everybody in that flight, regardless of what color stake they've shot from, have all qualified for that flight with the exact same score. So, you know, if you're a hunter hybrid guy and you're shooting from 50 and you've qualified with a 575, you know, you might be shooting with guys that are shooting pins, or you might be shooting with women that are shooting pins. I mean, you could be shooting with anybody. You could be shooting with women open shooters. I mean, it's really something across the gamut. And that's what I had really thought I thought that the shoot would start off really heavy with, I didn't think we would get as many like crazy open competitive archers that we get every year. I mean, right now we are super heavy, like 75% or more open shooters to men's hunter, youth hunter, and women hunter. So what I'm really trying to do, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe this podcast and getting the word out a little bit about how we're doing things is really going to help increase the attendance of guys and gals who, you know, they don't really want to get out there and have to worry about competing, but, or they don't want to have the stress of trying to compete against guys at the top. They can just come out, shoot the best score they can, get out here with their friends, have fun, and, you know, put up a good score, and, you know, maybe they'll fall into the top 10 in one of the flights. I mean, one of the staples of what we do here is if you fall into one of the gaps in one of the flights, each one of our flights for the first 7 years have all been basically sponsored by one of our great sponsors, right? I mean, FLX, you know, FLX Outdoors, Ram Archery, Belmont. And we have been fortunate enough to be able to give a bow away per flight. So even if you do fall into the gaps in the flights, you know, you still got like a 1 in 40 chance, 1 in 50 chance of walking out of there with a brand new bow that's been donated by one of our sponsors, right? So, you know, that's something that we really try hard to do every year. And we've been fortunate enough to be surrounded by great support where we're absolutely able to give away a bow per flight every season. And that's something that the archers really look forward to. You know, and in addition to the bows per flight, we do a Hoyt early bird every year. That's a big draw. If you come down to the first leg and you early bird here at the first leg, we draw that same weekend for a Hoyt of choice. You know, that's a pretty salty prize. That's a pretty good early bird giveaway. And then I'm hoping, you know, for 2025, I got some other things in the works that we might be able to do throughout the season at each individual event. That's a little bit about, you know, what we had done in the past. Some things we're changing up for 2025 that I'm also hoping is going to drive some of the attendance numbers is, in all the previous years, we've only paid out at the end, and our payouts are gigantic, right? I mean, last year, I think there was close to $14,000 or $15,000 in the pot. So what we paid out, we split that up between 15 archers scaled down from the top to the bottom. That's a real nice chunk of change, a real nice paycheck for everybody. But we still weren't, I feel like there was a lot of conversation amongst the shooters about potentially paying out at each individual leg. And we had sat around quite a bit and thought about how we could pay out at each individual leg without taking away from the end result, which I wasn't willing to sacrifice. I didn't want to lessen up the payouts at the end to increase payouts per leg for maybe some hotshot that's just coming up to try to win the weekend or something, right? But I wanted to give that hotshot that's just coming up to win the weekend an opportunity to come win the weekend and see what we're all about, right? So this year, 2025, what we're going to do is we're going to pay out every leg, right? So we took a vote on that last year at the third leg. We had a little survey, and overwhelmingly, the response was, absolutely, let's get this done. At each leg, in addition to the $40 that you're going to spend for the event, if you pay individually, some money, but at each leg, an additional $20 would be owed. And out of that $20, we are going to pay out the weekend, right? And not only are we going to pay out the weekend, but we're also going to pay out more flights. We're going to pay out 7 flights. And what that does for us is that hits scores in the flights that have typically never hit at the end of the year for us. You know, I mean, it's like a running gag, you know, but a lot of guys know that have shot this for many years. If you're a really good shooter, you might finish this tournament even. You know, you could finish at 600, so you could shoot a .300 for each of your qualifying scores, which I would argue is doing some work. I mean, I think anybody that comes off any one of these courses in the black or 10 down, you have done some exceptional archery. And in the past, we've never really had the flights have never really hit that archer who might finish 5 up or 2 up or 1 down. But with the format we're going to run for the 7 flights, we're going to hit a lot of scores that have typically been left out of the equation at the end, which should get a lot more money into different guys' pockets at each leg, right? So that's going to hit those guys who do come here and shoot right around even. And we'll also be able to pay out further down the scale, right? So with paying out 7 flights, typically the 5-flight breakdown, and it all depends on attendance and math, but I mean, typically that 5th flight each year has been around, you know, 75 to maybe 90 down, right? And with the 7 flights, we're going to be able to probably pay out 3-6 individuals that will have shot, you know, maybe even below 500, or, you know, they might come here and shoot a 150 or something like that at one of the legs, right? Those individuals would still have an opportunity. Now, 150, that's pretty low. Maybe I'm thinking like a 220. You get guys that might come down and shoot 220, 225, 250. Those shooters now will have an opportunity with the 7-flight payout scale to get a little bit of their money back and, you know, get in on the game, right? Now, at the end of the season, we're still going to just pay out the 5 flights overall for our shoot-off, but at each individual weekend, we will be doing 7 flights, right? So that, hoping that's going to start, siphoning in some guys on the outskirts that might just want to come up for the weekend so they can see what we're doing. They can get a look at what we're doing so they can understand the format a little bit better. I think it's still something that's, I guess I kind of find it hard to believe, or maybe I don't understand how, but because I'm so close to it, it's probably because that's all I do is live and breathe this stuff. I guess I find it hard to believe that some folks still don't understand exactly how our flights work, but you know, we're going to do stuff. That's one of the reasons we're doing just the weekend payout, so we can get some folks up here to take a look and see exactly what we're doing and see how everything scales out at the end. So that'll be something different that we do this year. On top of, we're going to do a non-competitive youth class this year. So I'm very interested in getting the kids involved, right? We kind of tried this, or we kind of did some late last-minute youth giveaways last year. And it was kind of at the very tail end of our promotion season, and it was kind of like last minute. But now we're right ahead of things this year, and one of the things we're going to do is this non-competitive youth, where it may give those S3DA kids or NASP kids an opportunity to come up here and, you know, compete or shoot with their friends, right? So the non-competitive youth is going to be for any archer 17 years or younger, shooting any style of equipment. They're going to be able to shoot from the 30-yard max stake. They're not going to be eligible for our flights, but they will be eligible for plaques and trophies at the end of the year if we hit our mark of, you know, 15 youths participating in the trophy class. If we can get 15 or more kids in that non-competitive youth, we will absolutely be giving away plaques and trophies to the kids that participate. And that's what I'm hoping we can get. I mean, because there was a lot of parents that you know, were asking for it, right? They wanted something a little bit different, a little bit of a different option for the kids, right? Now, that's not saying that the youth still can't participate in the flights. I mean, they'll still be able to shoot as they always have from either the blue, the red, or the orange stakes. Or yeah, that's not the red stakes really, but the blue and the orange. And if a kid comes up here the first leg and they shoot non-competitive youth and they decide to come back and shoot the second leg and they want to get involved in the flights, well, they still have plenty of time to get their two scores in to get qualified. So that should be something that should be something I hope is going to really boost the kids on top of some of the youth giveaways that we're going to do this year. I mean, I know we're definitely going to be doing another youth shopping spree this year. You know, last year we sent a youth archer to the ASA Classic. I mean, that was something that was me and Mike cooked up from the ASA. And I mean, and I can't believe how gracious he was with everything he did for that kid, you know, and they're going to be back this year as a sponsor. So the ASA is back. They're one of our biggest backers. They're going to be back as sponsors for 2025. So hopefully we'll be able to work something out again this year, where we might be able to do something similar for the kids and send another kid back to the Classic. We'll have to see how things play out. But that's a little bit about, you know, what our format's like and what we're going to be doing this year. You know, and like I said, as the season gets close, I wanted to get this podcast out before we really start getting heavy into the leagues, and Lancaster's right around the corner. And I'd like to do a podcast before and after we get back from Lancaster with some of the guys, so they can talk about what they expect going down. And when they come back, if their expectations were met, or, you know, if they exceeded them or fell short of them, you know, I'd like to talk to some of the guys that are going to be down there shooting the Classic. And then, you know, boom, after that, it's like Foley and ASA starts rolling, Vegas, Indoor Nationals. There's going to be a lot of indoor tournaments up here going on. I'd like to get some people's take on what those tournaments are going to be like. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff here for future podcasts to talk about. And, you know, you're not going to have to just listen to me run my mouth for 30, 35 minutes. We're going to have, you know, Dalton and Matt. Well, maybe Matt will just sit here and stare at the microphone. Josh, Bridget, you know, they'll be some of the main hosts that'll be on here with me, along with guests we'd like to get on from the area, so they can really talk about and promote the clubs, the shops, and the archery that is in their community that they'd like people to know about. So, you know, hopefully this is something that kind of catches on. Anybody who knows me knows I don't mind running my mouth. So this is something that I think I could easily enjoy doing. So hopefully everybody will enjoy listening to it as much as I'll enjoy doing it. You know, we'll talk to you soon. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody, and a safe New Year. And we will probably be doing another one of these right after the New Year. Thanks. Bye.